Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Keeping It Together. My name is Montavian Morrow. You can call me Mister. I will be your host on this ride as we discuss relationships, communication, love, and intimacy. Allow me to begin by announcing this disclaimer. This is a grown folks show in which we will deal with grown folks' issues. Your host could give a damn about how you feel about his delivery of the truth. Ran out of dams back in 96, 97 when my personal levy broke and I gave all my dams away. So if you're looking for one, seek elsewhere because I am fresh out. So now that we have that understanding, let's go on and get yourself strapped in, put your seatbelt on, baby. Relax. Unclench. Pull that seat cushion out your ass you just sucked up in there. We won't be sweet-talking any issues around here from 7 to 8. Bush-beating, smoke-blowing, and sugar-coating are some of the main reasons our divorce rate is so high. So my goal is to shine a light on those root causes of some of those relational issues and pull some of those out from under the bed and behind closed doors and out of the closet. So this is a no-holds-barred conversation area. I will most likely at some time or at some point offend you. But like any good medicine, the stronger it is and the worse it tastes, the more it helps. So just hold your nose and swallow. We'll be discussing everything from relational money and time management in relationships to proper seduction techniques to everything under the sun. I'm not here to, like Jerry Springer and Maury Povich, I don't want to entertain others with your misery. I want to talk about why you're so miserable in the first place and help you out of that mess. Contrary to what you may believe, you are not the only one experiencing what you're going through. The best marriages and situationships have had to figure their way through some tough shit. You are not alone in what's happening to you. So whether you're dating or in a relationship, a friendship, a partnership, acquaintanceship, or situationship, we want your ship to keep floating. And while I'm running my mouth here, you guys be sure to take this time to go tell your friends, call your mama them, call your daddy them, hit up all them people that they probably arguing right now. They just got out of church. Something the pastor said about their relationship. Somebody think that you done told somebody something. Go tell them they need to come listen in. If they can't get online, they can call in to the number. What is the number? Go look online. It's on the Facebook post. If you don't have it, the number to call in, or it's blogtalkradio.com, Destiny Empowerment Radio. This is my first show, so I haven't memorized the number yet. Y'all will get there. But give me your feedback. Get online. Give me your feedback. I want to know what you're thinking. What issues are you going through? What types of things are happening in your relationships? What are the things that you're seeing, or what are the things that are happening most common? I promise you it's the same stuff that's happening to everybody else. But get online and give me some feedback. I want to know if you're in my A-man corner or if you just think I'm a complete ass. But either way, get at your boy. Let me know what's happening. So, without any further ado, let us delve into the subject matter. Whether it have been at the beauty or barbershop or social media, how often have you been a party to the debate of which sex is the biggest liar? Do men lie more than women? Or do women lie more than men? Who's the better liar? Men or women? The truth is that in this TV scripted reality show, Whose Baby Is It talk show, Stars of Cheaters driven society that we live in, we can honestly say that there is a fair amount of lying occurring by both sexes. That's easy. Folks is doing some plenty good lying. There's a reason you've been on Maury 4 times and still don't know who the real father of the baby is, homegirl. And there's also a reason you've been on Maury 4 times with 4 different women as a possible candidate for some child support payments, their player. Somebody was obviously lying to somebody. The question is, outside of the moral, the obvious moral implications, why lie? You ain't got to lie, Craig. What you lying for in the first place? Allow me to submit to you a possible answer to this question. Whether you know it or not, the environment or the atmosphere one surrounds themselves with has a direct reflection on habit and behavior. So what you see and do on a daily basis becomes what is normal and acceptable. For example, if you surround yourself with couples that fight every day, subconsciously, fighting couples become normal to you. If you then link yourself together and involve yourself with someone who has not been subjected to the daily fighting of couples, and the two of you get into a fight, or the two of you fight all the time, one will see this behavior as normal, while the other will see it as a major problem. On that same basis of thought is the reason I believe our society, especially as it deals with relationships, lie. We've trained ourselves to do so. Now, I know what you're thinking. I know. Speak for yourself, lie, pants on fire. I missed Remedial Lying 101 my freshman year. I didn't get that class. It wasn't covered in my scholarship. I feel you, but follow me on this. I would submit to you that this relationship line didn't come from classroom instruction, but by observed and learned patterns of behavior. Dishonesty on any level is not instinctive. It is a learned behavior. When you were a child, you didn't instinctively know that the stove or the iron or any other inanimate object that was hot would burn you. You were told by your parents, and even after you were told, you still had to touch it for yourself to understand the effects of what hot really meant. But once burned, your behavior towards things that were hot changed. You learned to protect yourself from things that would burn you. It's this human nature to try to protect oneself from anything deemed negative or painful. It's just human nature. It's how we learn. We learn to protect ourselves from things that will hurt us. So what does all this talk about learning and behavior have to do with lying to my significant other and why it happens? Well, anyone would tell you that's worth their salt that a solid relationship is built on a foundation of trust. No one, and I mean no one, no one else will have the opportunity to see you in the same light as the one whom you are in a relationship with. I must be able to trust you in order to bear my vulnerability. Ain't nobody else going home and going to bed with you. They don't get to see you in the same light everybody else. You are not going to have the same problems with the people at work that you do with your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your booty buddy. Y'all not going to have the same problems because you're not in the same situations. You're not going to find yourselves in the same situation. So that's why everybody else think you so sweet, but your husband and wife know you a booger. Never mind. That's a different story. That's a different story. We're going to get to that. Let's go into this a little bit deeper. I'll give you an example. I hope all y'all, I don't know all y'all, you know, some of y'all too saved, but Dave Chappelle used to do a skit on his show called When Keeping It Real Goes Wrong. I know y'all, some of y'all remember that because it was hilarious. It was about different scenarios of this one unfortunate individual that told the truth or whatever his version of the truth was, and usually ended up getting his ass beat or getting beat up or humiliated or some other form of horrendous and embarrassing outcome. In relationships, oftentimes, keeping it real goes wrong, goes horribly awry. And the manner in which we handle what we call the real or the honesty of our mates molds our behavior towards them. So when your wife or girlfriend asks you, "Does this dress make me look fat?" And all the buttons on the dress have turned sideways, the seams are busting out on the sides, and all is more rolls stacked up back than the bread section at the supermarket. Do you say yes? Hell no, you don't say yes. You don't tell her anything on her looks fat. Why? Because she will never, ever, ever forget that you called her fat. I know. You ain't even call her fat. You simply answered her question truthfully. Besides, the dress wasn't making her look fat. It was the fat trying to escape that dress that was making her look fat. But I digress. But because you have learned from experience that any time you have said anything negative about her looks, you had to deal with it for the next month, your bedroom got cold, your kitchen got cold, and your conversation froze over one statement. And anything that reminds her of that particular situation causes her to remind you of that particular situation. She was hurt because your image of her is important to her. Now, the honesty wasn't the issue. Your delivery of the honesty was the issue. How she handled your misguided honesty trained you to lie. This is why you see so many women proudly latched on to their men, dressed in these ridiculous outfits, looking like they have no friends, talking about my man like it. No, he don't. He just didn't want to mess up his night. So when your man asks, wait, ladies, I can't go with you without coming at these men. When your man asks you that dumbass question, "Am I the best you ever had?" And he ain't, do you say no? Hell no, you don't tell him that. Why? Because he'll now want to interrogate you regarding every boyfriend you have ever had. Then he gonna walk around sulking like a big kid that had to go to bed early. And his confidence in his ability to please you will be completely and utterly shot. And if he feels he is not able to please you, he'll find that one that makes him feel as if he is the best she has ever had. So what do you do, ladies? You lie. You lie like a politician up for re-election in the midst of scandal. You lie like a cheap rug. You tell him everything he want to hear so he can shut up and go sit down. Ladies and gentlemen, these are everyday happenings that occur in our relationships that mold the very foundations of how we behave towards one another. Situations that occur on a daily basis that are actually opportunities to mold and shape our relationships for the better. Now, as stated, I do not believe that we are born liars, but we are trained to be such. If you can't be honest with anyone else in the world, it should be the person that you have chosen to spend life with. The dilemma is learning how to respond honestly when the truth, as you believe it, as you believe it to be, may cause an unwanted reaction. It is not only the ability to deliver my thoughts, feelings, and intentions to you in a favorable manner, but it is equally of paramount importance how we respond to the information presented. We don't feel comfortable telling one another certain things because of the responses received in the past. How we view and receive the information given is filtered by the perception of the past experience. You can't tell them something as small as, you know, you bought a new pair of shoes because of how he went on about it the last time you bought some new shoes. You got 83 pair of shoes just under the bed. Why you got to have another pair of shoes? Just because it's on sale don't mean you had to get some more shoes. Why we got to have a budget for shoes? Why is the whole section of the closet shoes? You got 2 feet. What is all these shoes for? So what do? You don't even tell them you got some new shoes. Because of his reaction to you telling him something as simple as, got these shoes on sale. He molded or he responded in a way that was negative to something that you did. You can't answer your phone from a female caller without your lady turning into 007. So you unnecessarily hide, lock, delete, and try to put up even the most innocent of things just so you don't have to go through the mess that follows. Why you can't show me the phone, Cletus? Who was that, Cletus? No, that wasn't your cousin. I talked to your cousin. I know who your cousin is. Your cousin go to bed at 7:30. She 89 years old. Who was that, Cletus? I need to know who that is. It probably was somebody from work. But because of the way that you responded the last time, somebody called after a certain time, that joker might throw the phone out the window because he does not want to deal with the particular response that he might have to deal with because of something minuscule. Do you see how we do this to each other? Train each other on how we react and how we dispose of each other's feelings and how we cause each other to change the way that we do things or change the way that we say things when we should be building each other up. We should be encouraging one another to be honest with to be honest with us. We should be training each other in how to speak to us, and it's not so much in what we say, it's how we say it. And when we say it, how do we respond to it? When I give you the information, how now will you respond to the information that I give you? And keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, we haven't even started talking about big stuff. We're talking about buying stuff and people calling. We're talking about little small things. We ain't talking about why he cheated and lied about it. I mean, obviously, he lied about it because he didn't want to get caught. We ain't talking about why she didn't tell you the baby was wasn't yours. These things all these are the big things. We ain't talking about why he been paying child support on the kids you don't even know he had. These are large lies. We're not talking about those. Why are we not talking about those right now? We will deal with the ramifications of those lies in later episodes. Let's take baby steps, people. Baby steps. Crawl before you walk. Let's not get out here too fast. You have to build a foundation of trust. Trust does not come overnight. Trust is not given. You just don't give out your trust. It does not work like that. I have to learn you. I have to learn your language. I have to understand what it is when you say a certain thing, what you're actually asking me for, or what you actually mean by a particular statement. It takes time to do that. I have to learn how to trust and know that anything that you say to me is meant to build me up. It's meant to encourage me. It's for my betterment. But if you just met this character, and this is what happens a lot in our day and age, you meet him at the club on Friday. Good girls will wait a week. By next Friday, we've been intimate. We've had sex. You've had your feet in the air and called him every other name except his real name because you don't know his last name yet. Now we're in a relationship because the sex was good. The sex was good because you ain't had sex in 6 months. If you ain't ate in 3 days and you eat a cracker, that cracker is awesome. It's the best damn cracker you've had in life. It was just a saltine. It wasn't even a Ritz or a Townhouse. It wasn't even a what you call those damn things, a wheat thin. It was just a cracker. But you ain't ate in 3 days. So now you haven't been with anyone in all this time. You go out to the club, have a few too many. He tell you all the right lies. Now you found yourself in a relationship with someone that you don't know, that you haven't taken the time to know. And now you have to trust them. Y'all done moved in together. You don't know his social security number. You don't know what his credit is. You ain't met his mama. You don't know if it's a bunch of crazy people in his family. So now, anything that he says, you have to question. You done went to this girl's house, her bed on the floor. You didn't ask why it was on the floor. You didn't ask where the rest of the furniture was. She got 3 plastic forks, a picture taped up on the wall of some dude. He too old to be her son. Who you think that is? You haven't asked any of these questions. How can you now trust her? When she says, I need to borrow your car and your credit card to go pick up my cousin. And you wonder how we get into these situations. You haven't taken time to find out who you're dealing with and you're trying to trust them. So now you don't know that anything that they say is for your betterment. You don't know who they are. How can you trust them? So what am I saying? First of all, start to take time before you jump and delve into these relationships, before you start trying to build life with another individual. I understand you need that, or people, as people, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. I understand that. Nobody wants to be by themselves. Nobody wants to be lonely. Take your time. If they are meant to be with you, they will be with you. Give it a minute. Learn the person. It may take a minute before you see that other side of them, before you see the axe murderer come out, before you see that crazy chick that scratch up cars and flatten tires and do all that. You don't know any of that just yet. You don't know if he's trying to get you over there to help with his child support. You don't know. You haven't taken the time to find out. You haven't taken the time to figure out who he is. How can you trust him? You have to take some time to build a level of trust to know that a person is not trying to get involved with you just for the sake of getting involved with you. I'm just here for the sex. Well, let's keep it real. If that's the case, then I don't need to trust you with my money because there's no money being changed hands. And, you know, unless that's your, unless that's y'all's arrangement, I'm just saying. No judgment, no holds barred, so I'm just saying. Ladies and gentlemen, learn to take your time and get to know who you're getting into a relationship with. If we take just a little bit more time to actually get to know the people, you know, I understand you've had some wild nights. I am one who have had some wild nights and gone down that pathway. But prior to me trying to get into a relationship with someone, before they move in and start riding around in my car, and they before they know my social security number, I want to get to know who that person is. Because I don't know what did your last how did your last relationship end? Were the police involved in any way? Any Alphabet Boys, FBI, CIA, anything of that nature? Were any of those people involved? I need to know what's your credit score. You know, how many bodies are buried in the backyard? What is your relationship with your children's father or with your baby daddy, your baby mama? What is your relationship with your mom? I need to know certain things. What's your credit score? Do you have a job? Are you gainfully employed? Do you have a hustle? I just need to know these things. Do I need to put all of my valuables up when you come around? Or you a klepto? I need to know these things because in order for me to fully trust you, I need to know. Did you take naked pictures of your last significant other and post them online when you got mad at them? I need to know. In case I piss you off, is my naked ass going to be up on somebody's Gmail account? I need to know these things because whatever you did to the last person, possibly you could do it to me. These are things we need to find out in order to trust. How do you build trust? Hell, you ask questions. How else do I get to know you unless I ask the question? If people have a problem answering questions about themselves, red flag, that's another show. We're going to talk about that. What are the red flags? Somebody write that down. What are the red flags? We're going to talk about this thing. But if I have a problem just giving you basic information, you know, I don't want to know your blood type or your life story, but I need to know the highlights. I need to know the highlights of how you got here in order for me to trust you with me, in order for me to trust you with my feelings and with my hopes, with my dreams and my aspirations. I got to first get to know you. And once I get to know you, then we got to take a little time to be in a few situations, to be into some things to where I can see how you react so that we can mold and shape how you respond to different scenarios. If the waiter comes by and accidentally drops a drink in your lap, then... And you blow up, flip all the tables, and cuss out all the people. I need to know that up front. I need to know those type of things in order to be able to trust you. If everything that I say to you becomes an argument, then I can't trust you with any information. Everything is an argument? We got to fight about everything. Really? Who taught you that? Who told you everything? If you're on the defensive about everything, how then can I expect to trust you with any data that I give you? So what do we do then? How do we learn to change these situations? How do we learn to trust, especially in an environment in which, hell, we haven't been able to trust? Some of us are already in marriages and relationships. You have been cheated on. You have had money mismanagement. And y'all still together. Y'all ain't went nowhere. But there is an issue of trust there to where you feel like you gotta lie just to keep it together. And if you gotta lie to keep it together, there's an issue there. That is a huge issue. So what do we do? How do we now begin to build that trust? Well, first of all, trust comes with transparency. Damn. Transparency. That mean I got to come clean with all my stuff? That's a decision you're going to have to make on your own about coming clean with all your stuff. But I would advise you, first of all, quit messing up. If you're in a committed relationship, quit cheating. Man, woman, dog, cat, rat, bat. Whatever you are, if you are in a committed relationship, first things first, quit cheating. If it ain't nothing to catch you in, ain't nothing you got to lie about. Put your side piece on the back burner and say, hey, homeboy, homegirl, I'm going to try to work this marriage thing out. You a side piece. Get to the side. If this don't work out, I know where you at. Stop cheating. The one thing about the truth is that it needs nothing outside of itself to remain true. As long as I'm telling you the truth is all I need. The truth is going to be true. I don't need nobody to back it up. It doesn't need your approval. All it has to do is remain true. And there is a particular confidence in knowing that I'm telling the truth. I can be a complete ass when I'm telling the truth because I know I ain't did nothing. I don't care what you look at. You can't find nothing on me. You been cheating, Cleophas? Nope. You lying. No, I ain't. Here the phone. Here the Facebook. I don't care what they send me. It's not what a woman or a man sends me. It's how I respond to it. Yeah, she sent me a bunch of stuff. I don't care. I'm here with you. You ain't seen nothing. I ain't deleted nothing. Go ahead, look at it. I'm transparent. I'm clean as a whistle. I'm clean as the preacher's sheets. Can't find nothing on me because I ain't did nothing. Check me. Transparency. You been buying shoes again, old Leifer? No, I ain't bought no shoes. I ain't bought nothing. We said we was going to talk about it next time I need to buy some shoes. And we ain't talked about it. I ain't bought no shoes. Here the credit card receipts. Here the bank statement. You don't ain't got no cash because we were broke last week. We broke today. I ain't bought no shoes. Go on in there and count the shoes under the bed. It's the same number it was last week. There's a strange power in being able to tell the truth. Come clean. Be transparent. That is the building blocks of trust and honesty. Those are the very basis or the very basics of building trust. People tend to trust me. And I'm going to talk about me for a second. Hell, this is my show. Might as well know who the hell you're talking to. People tend to trust me because they have given me or told me things in the past that, one, I remember them telling me, and two, they have never heard it repeated. So why do they feel comfortable giving or telling me things? Hell, because they know I ain't got to tell nobody. They know that I'm not going to repeat their personal business that they have confided in me. That is a level of trust that I hold, that I actually hold most dear. That's something that I am proud of, that you can tell me something, I can keep it to myself, as ratchet as it may be. When you have that level of trust with someone, it's something that you don't want to give away. You don't want to lose that. But that's built because people feel that way because I am transparent with me, with Mr. It is what it is. What you see is what you get. Don't ask me a question that you don't want to have the answer to. If you don't want the real answer, don't ask me. because I'm going to tell you whether you like it or not. And I don't care if you don't like it. When you get through being mad, I'm going to still be here. Because I understand that everybody doesn't know how to respond to truth. Instead of taking truth and seeing it for what it is and knowing that, man, Montavian don't mean no harm. If he telling me something, it must be good. If he telling me, he ain't going to tell me no wrong. So I need to think about what he said. When you know that and you apply that same concept to your relationship, then you now can get a better grip on your trust. Now, I know that if Cleophas is saying, I haven't done anything, then Cleophas is transparent with me. He has been doing everything that he's supposed to do to allow me to trust him. Then I have to start giving him some rope. If Olisha has been doing all that she's supposed to do to build trust with me, she's been transparent with me in everything. Everything that she's supposed to, then I have to give her some rope. I got to give her some leeway. And that is how trust is built. That's how it comes to be. Those are the very foundations. You got to start with little things. It's the small foxes that destroy the vines that the Bible says. You start with little things, and by the time you get to those large things about who you cheated, why you cheated, and why you lie about the money, and who was that dude, and all of these things. Well, one, it's kind of hard to get to that place when you've been honest up front, because when you've built a level of trust, you know, all these different scenarios that we come into about cheating and money and things of that nature, those things develop from something else. You know, somebody was cheating because there was a lack. There was a lack because somebody didn't feel comfortable telling the other person that there was a lack. So when they said, is everything all right? They said, yes, everything wasn't all right. Somebody needed to be doing something different. There was a trust issue involved. So what do we do? How do we fix these issues? Let's start back from the bottom. Let's go back to our scenarios that we started out talking with. And if you just joining in, if you missed the first part of the show, you can always go back. These shows are recorded. Go back to the Blog Talk Radio site, and you can go to the episode and hit the button, hit the play button, and it'll start you back from the jump, from the beginning. We'll talk about that in a second. So let's go back to our relationships, or better yet, let's talk about our scenarios that we were talking about earlier, or our opportunities to gain trust. So, gentlemen, I'm going to give you these little tidbits. Take your notes. Get your pen and paper out. When she asks you, does she look fat in that dress? Obviously, you can't say yes. Even though it's the truth, you take this opportunity to sow into your relationship. Baby, I think you look sexier in the other one. Now, because of the verbiage you just used, you've now put her mind on the fact that you think she's sexy, and you started a game of name that dress. Does it matter that you don't have a clue of what dress you are talking about? Nope. You just smile, and you look at her with that I'm going to get you later look, and you just say, you know, the other one. The one you wore to that thing. She gonna go in and try on every dress in the damn closet. And she's gonna keep trying on dresses until she looks at a dress and she feels sexy in it. she didn't feel good about the first one that she asked you about. It was uncomfortable in the first place. That's why she asked you if she looked fat in that dress. She knew all her fat was pushed up and pinched up, and she was going to have marks all over her body from that damn dress. She knew that in the beginning. She was not comfortable. But if you tell her that you like it, oh, she going to deal with it. She going to make it work. She was going to walk around with all her feet hurting. She wasn't going to match. But as long as you like her man liked that dress, don't give a damn about what nobody else thinks. She ran out of dams as soon as you said, yeah, baby, that's the one. She wasn't going to breathe that night or nothing. The Spanx was going to have some work to do that evening because you weren't honest with her. But when you went through and you let her put on something, that's the one. Now, when she presents herself in suitable attire that don't make her look like a ham in a sack, compliment her and tell her how much you enjoyed watching her get dressed and undressed over and over, and you just simply say, that's what I'm talking about. Yes, you are now going to be late. You was going to be late at first. So what? Whatever you were going to, you are only going to be there for a limited time. But now, you don't have to come home to some mess. Y'all get that? Did you catch that? A little bit of time for this one evening, and I ain't got to come home to no mess. I'm looking out for my future. Brothers, put your fists up. Understand what I'm telling you. Girl, when that fool asks you, baby, I'm the best you ever had, and you know he ain't, he got some practice to do. He ain't even scratched the surface yet. You just hit him with those bedroom eyes. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. All y'all got some bedroom eyes. The ugliest woman on your block got some bedroom eyes. She cock-eyed in one eye and cross-eyed in the other eye, but she got some bedroom eyes. You just look at him with them bedroom eyes, and you invite him to a secluded place, and then you attack his ass.
What the hell?
Yeah, I just said it. You attack him. You make his toes reach back and scratch his ankles. And when you're done with him, when you through with him, or better yet, when he can't take no more, when he laying there and you don't see nothing but white in his eyes, ain't no pupil, it's just white. Then you lean into him, and you just simply say, and it gets better every time. Daddy, Papa, Big Daddy, Carl Lester, whatever you call him, you know, insert name here. Now, what did you just do? You just put him on a high for the rest of the week. He's going to be walking around beating his chest like a silverback gorilla. I'm a man. I understand these things. Hear me. Now, is this creative deception? Of course not. You now have access to an avenue to train that booger into becoming the best you ever had. So, in summary, I would encourage you to be honest with your mates, with your significant others, with your situationship partners, with your booty buddies. Be honest. In our honesty, be aware of the delivery of that honesty and the short and long-term ramifications of that honesty. You should always encourage and uplift the one that you're with. The possibility of that honesty causing them harm or hurt feelings, you know, that shouldn't prevent you from being honest. It should actually cause you to take the opportunity to learn how to deliver your communication in a way that makes them feel like you truly care for them and have their best interests at heart. The goal, after all, is to get to a point to where you and your significant other can be completely and brutally honest with each other. But that comes from laying a foundation of trust in that regardless of what is said and even how it's delivered, it is a known fact that no harm is meant and all things are said and done in love. How you see a lot of old couples, you know, how grandma and grandpa, they talk about each other like cats and dogs and not even worry about it no more. I heard old people say some stuff, I'd be like, I'd be ready to divorce her, or I don't know why she's still with him. It's because they spent years learning and understanding that he talk crazy sometimes, but that fool loved me. You know, she can get on my nerves a lot, you know, running her mouth. Ain't nothing good coming out of it. But she'll do anything for me. That woman will go to bat for me at any given time. That man will work from sun up to sundown to make sure I got what I need. He will do whatever is necessary to make me happy. Those are things that are built over time. So when I say something that sounds off, you don't take it personally. You say, oh, he joking because he loved me. Then you find out, yeah, it was a joke. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I hope y'all getting this. We have to be conditioned in love. It's an ongoing practice. Let me give you one more scenario before we start trying to take some questions and things of that nature to prove my point. So if you and your significant other are together enjoying an afternoon and they suddenly start beating you in the head with the magazine that they're holding in their hand, what do? You start fighting them back because obviously this fool has lost their goddamn mind. Or do you think this person would never do anything to purposely harm me? So there must be something else going on. If you chose to go with the first response, you would have fought off your protector who was trying to get the bee off of you because they knew you were allergic. Now, obviously, that scenario, yeah, a little extreme. But it still illustrates that if we haven't been conditioned in our relationships to know that the one we're trying to build life with doesn't have our best interests at heart, the most insignificant of occurrences can be taken and snowballed into a catalyst that'll ultimately destroy what you're trying to build. In the scenarios above, what we did was we redirected the same energies we could have used arguing and getting over hurt feelings to further foster the relationship. She feels sexy, and he feels like a beast. They'll both carry themselves with confidence, and they'll feel that they can be honest with each other because the reaction they received is conducive to building a surety in that they can tell each other anything and everything if they learn how to say it and how to receive it. Y'all get that? I hope y'all got that. Y'all better got that. If you didn't get it, you'll be able to go back online and listen to it again and see how that works out for you. I got about 10 minutes left, so if you guys have any questions, any comments, any feedback, I want you to hit me up on the social media. I see we have one question, phone number ending in 9305. I'm going to turn you on right now. Let me see if I can work this. Y'all know this is my first show. Don't trip. Y'all mess up on y'all job, too. 9305, you're on.
Well, hello, 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 Montavian. I am thoroughly enjoying the show. This is Kelsey Gordon, and I have a question for you and, you know, all the listeners out there.
Go for it.
All right. So, do you believe in the 90-day money-back guarantee, meaning that no sex relationships with the other when you're starting a relationship, that as Steve Harvey has said in his book, you know, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, he has thoroughly stated about that 90 days, that, you know, you should wait 90 days before you are really intimate with your partner. that you're seeking to have a relationship with? Do you truly believe that works, and why?
Okay, now we are online, I have a speed deal. So what I believe, what I heard in between the was do or basically, what are my thoughts of the 90-day rule about having sex? Can you give me a yes or no on that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I got you. So. Here, I put you back on mute because I couldn't. I hope the rest of y'all heard that question. The question was what are my thoughts on the 90-day rule? Steve Harvey put out that the book, you know, Think Like a Man, and in that book he talks about you should at least wait at least 90 days before being intimate with the person, or for a woman. Of course, it was written to women, for a woman to be intimate with a man. Here are my thoughts on that. I don't believe in taking a particular amount of time is necessary. I think you should put the time frame on it that you believe. Do I think you're supposed to run out here and jump in the bed, you know, the first time that you meet someone, if you letting your freak flag fly, understand that, and you understand that's what you're doing, God bless you, protect yourself. That's all I'm saying about that. But if you are in an attempt to try to build some sort of relationship with the person, then I think you should take the time necessary to get to know them on a level to where you feel comfortable letting them jump your bones. You do need to take the time to, you know, the old folks used to say, to shake that tree, because what happens if you do get into a situation where that person now becomes your baby daddy? Rubbers break. IUDs take breaks. They don't always fun. Trust me, I know. I got a set of twins. IUD said, I don't want to work tonight. I've even heard people having their tubes tied. Folk get pregnant. Folk catch stuff. Now you are with this person. You had this person in your life for life. So prior to being intimate with them, you may want to take a little time to see, hey, if something was to go haywire, if something was to happen, and I got to be stuck with this person for life, is this the kind of person that I want to be stuck with forever? You need to take at least enough time to do that. Now, that may mean you need to do a credit check, a background check, and all of that before you go out with them. I don't know, whatever your process is. But as far as saying wait 90 days, for some, you need to wait 180 days because it takes that long for them to come out of their shell. For some, they're completely transparent. You know their level of crazy before you get into it. And when you do, you make a conscious decision to get into that crazy. Oh, well, I was thinking I wasn't on. Okay, so, yeah, do I believe in the 90-day rule? I believe there's a rule of taking your time to get to know a person on a particular level before becoming intimate with them. Whatever that is for you, it is for you. You're grown. You make grown folks' decisions. If you're one of them people who says, okay, I've known you for a week, I just need to see what this thing is like, protect yourself. Be careful. Don't make a stalker. I hope that answers your question. You know, take some time. Figure out who you're dealing with before you jump up and down and do the wild monkey dance with them. Because from what I hear from a lot of women, that it ain't always cracked up what it's supposed to be. People need to read some books, take some classes, and learn about what they're doing before they get out there lying about how good they are in the sack in the first place. So you might mess around and waste your time in the first place, but that's just me. Listen, I got about 5 minutes before I before this thing just completely shuts me down, if that long. I want to take this opportunity to say thank you all for listening in, for one. And two, I want to tell you that you need to be logging into these shows. There's a show tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, same bat time, same bat channel, different bat time. The Success Factor with Ken and Kelsey Gordon. You need to tune into that show. This couple right here, we just got through talking about being transparent. And I have to give it up, and I have to show some appreciation to these people, because any couple or any people that want to be transparent in their lives to help you with yours, you got to respect that. And these are real people that are coming in to help you deal with real issues to help you to be more successful in life. They're dealing with money. They're dealing with family. They're dealing with relationship. They're dealing with business. They are talking about things that are here to help you to do better or to be more successful in your life. And they are a real couple. These are good people. You hear from me, and you know, if they wasn't shit, I'd tell you they ain't shit. But these are good people, and I know y'all listening too. I appreciate. Oh, they've been hyping this show up. They didn't hype the show up more than I didn't hype the show up. And hell, I'm the one going to be on here talking. I have to give it up for these two people right here. They are wonderful people. And not only can you learn a lot from them, but me and all my wisdom, I've learned a lot from them. Also, Recreating Your Life, the business edition, with Sharice Riley, our fearless leader. She's the one that has put all of these things together and has a great wealth of knowledge in business and in dealing with business and marketing and promoting your business and getting you out there and helping you to get your business flourishing. Her show is every Tuesday from 8 to 8:30. All of this stuff is going to be on my event blog or on my event site on Facebook. You'll be able to see it there. If you missed the show or you know people that did miss the show, they'll be able to go back on Blog Talk Radio under episodes and be able to listen to the show again. Call some people, tell some people, say this fool on this internet show is telling us some good stuff. He crazy as hell how he tell you, but it's real. But it's real, and it's real talk, and not only am I going to be real and giving you real talk, but Ken and Kelsey are going to be real. They're giving you real talk, and they're telling you how to really do things, and they're coming to you from a couple's aspect and how, because they do a lot of business together. Sharice is coming to you from a real aspect, because this is not somebody who's a gazillionaire just yet. But she is building this empire, and we are also promoting you to get out on the Destiny Empowerment website, which you'll also find the link out there. Become a partner with us. You might have a show that you need to do. You know, if my ignorant ass can get out here and get on a show, you have something that you can offer to somebody, and you need to do that. But until then, until next time, ladies and gentlemen, go find that man. Go grab him by the Johnson and give him a big hard kiss and tell him I love you, baby, and then just walk off and see what he do. Go get that girl, hug her real tight and hold her real tight and give her a kiss and tell her I love you and see what she do. If these people start fighting y'all off, you need to do better. You need to learn how to keep it together. So until next time, y'all stay up, be honest, deliver right, and keep it together.